Yeah, telling the Rebbe you say for Butzina de Oraisa. Telling the Rebbe Shlita from Eretz Yisrael, who's really one of the great manhigim of our time. He really gets it. He really, really gets it. And his counsel is sought on a lot of different things because he really understands the bigger picture of what's happening in Klal Yisrael, and he's beloved by many, many, many types of Jews. You don't have to be a Tolner Chassid to have a sheikhus with the Tolner Rebbe. He speaks English, speaks to a lot of different groups of Jews. And he's very warm and personable, and he's a tremendous Baal Eitzen, the most practical of ways. So, I don't know, if I lived in Eretz Yisrael, maybe I'd be a Tolner Chassid. Could be. His name's Weinberg also, so that's like a good end for me. Okay, so this is the first of his 21 Ma'amarim on Shavuos. And after he finishes the 21 Ma'amarim, he has more Ma'amarim. So the first section of 21 primary Ma'amarim on Shavuos, Ma'amar Beis, Ein LeTorah Ela Makom HaVeShata. A tremendous, tremendous Yisod. And you'll see that he's a person who has a very great depth of psychological insight and understands the emotional makeup of human beings. Yisod B'Gemara B'Vakam N'Ndal Ramad Beis. Shal Rabbi Chanina Ben Agil, as Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Mipnei ma b'dibros harishonos lo nemar behem tov. Why in the first dibros? Now, when we talk about first dibros and second dibros here, we're talking about what? We're talking about the presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro versus the presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Vaeschana. So why, when I open up Parshas Yisro, I don't find any reference to the concept of tov? I don't see any of the good that comes with keeping the Torah. When I open up the Parshas Vaeschanan, and I look over there in the fifth parak, all of a sudden I see that what? That you should honor your parents. Why should I honor my parents? Kaved asavicha vasimecha. Kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha. L'man yarichun yamecha. We find that in Yisro also. U'l'man yitavlach. All of a sudden in Vaeschanan, you should honor your parents and it will be good for you. So why is there no reference to the goodness of honoring your parents or any of the mitzvos in the first presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro? Uvidibros ha'achronos never behem tov. Why is the l'man yitav l'cha found in Vaeschanan? So he answered, ho v'sofen lishtaber, because the first luchos were going to be broken. V'chisofen lishtaber ma'have, so what? So I can't write the word tov because they're going to be broken? Amar Ravashi, chos v'shalom, paska tova mi'Yisrael. God forbid, we were worried that if the luchos were broken, so that would chas v'shalom take away, if the tov was written in the luchos, so then tov would forever be lost. And everything else that was in the luchos, we weren't worried, would get lost. Well, it's a strange, very puzzling gemara. I'll just point out, the Tzuchina Rebbe is very sensitive. He pays close attention to the number of psukim in Parshios, and he also likes to pay attention, or sometimes offer insights into why a parsha appears, you know, what number parsha it is in the order of the parshios. So I was going through all the parshios a couple of Shabbos ago, just trying to think, like, can I think of any explanations for why a parsha lands on a particular number? And I realized, Parshas Yisro, where it doesn't say Tov, Chazal say in Brachos and Daf Hei, it's also quoted in the Pirkei Avos, that Ein Tov Ela Torah. Right? Tov is a code word for Torah. Think about the Arachayim HaKadosh we learned last year. In Kisavo, v'samachta b'chol ha-tov, the Rechaim HaKadosh says, yes, Torah is kol ha-tov, ein tov el ha-torah. Quotes that Gemara in Brachos, daf hei. Ein tov el ha-torah, v'samachta b'chol ha-tov. A Jew learns Torah, it's the biggest simcha in the world. It's kol ha-tov. As Rav Noach Isaac Olbaum once explained in a shir, that when you go on a vacation, so you're wearing different things. You know, if I go to a hot location, then I'm not going to have skiing. If I go to a cold location, I'll have skiing, but I don't have the good weather. If I go to this place, it's a beautiful place, but there's not as many kosher restaurants. If I go here, it'll be easier to get a minion in kosher restaurants, but it's not as attractive and there's too many Jews hanging around that I kind of want my space. So every vacation, every place you go looking for something good, quote unquote good, is a trade-off. You don't get everything good. It's a machta b'chol atov. When a Jew learns Torah, the Torah says, Torah is kol atov. You don't compromise anything when you get Torah. And then the Rechaim uses his famous lashon, if we knew how good Torah was and how sweet Torah was, we'd go crazy chasing after it. No money, no kesef izav in the world would be tempting to us. We would know that there's nothing out there that's as good as Torah. Okay, so I realized that Parshas Yisro is the 17th parsha of the parshas of the Torah. 17 is Gematria Tov. So Ein Tov Ela Torah. That Parshas Yisro the 17th parsha from Bereishis. So, Samachta b'chol tov. So, even though the first luchos, it doesn't say tov, even though it doesn't say tov in the first luchos, but ain tov el Torah. How could it not be that the tov parsha of the Torah is the parsha when we makabel the Torah? So, even though it doesn't say tov, it hints to, right, being the 17th parsha of the Torah, it hints to the fact that it is tov. Okay? But we were nervous. We didn't want to write the word tov because we were scared that tov would get broken. Says the Talmud Rebbe. Nimtza lefi divrei gemara elu, shekol ha'achanos ha'gedolos shenasu lefnei kabbalah satos. Let's just think about this for a second. Hashem didn't write the word tov, yeah?
When it goes through again, it's not like it wasn't referring to luchos of Rishon Losos.
Right, meaning, right, what's written on the actual luchos, that's a big question on this gemara b'chlal that Rav Reuven Margolius talks about. In a sefer, what's it called, the Mikra Vamasora, he talks about that, right? Meaning the presentation of the luchos, Yisro versus Vaschan, is not actually what was written on the luchos. It wasn't that the luchos, the words were different. Right? When Hashem says to Moshe, "Psal lecha," you go carve out sapphire stones for the second luchos, and Hashem says, and then I'm going to write Es Hadvarim. Right, I'm going to write the what we say on the. In the Kriyas Torah for Tana Sibor. I'm going to write on those luchos Es Hadvarim. I'm going to write those same words that I wrote on the first luchos. So it's mamish the same words. Right? They didn't change the text of the luchos from first to second. So there's a lot of questions at this gemara. Ein achanami. So I was just trying to be meramis then when I kept saying the presentation of Yisro versus Veschanan as opposed to the luchos themselves. But you're 100% right. It's important to point that out. Okay? So look. So he says the gemara tells us apparently, that Hashem knew he was going to, that the first luchos were not going to last. We knew that. And yet, look at this. Shekol ha'achanos ha'gedolos shenasu lefnei Kabbalah Satar. So that means all of the lead up to Kabbalah Satar, all of the preparation. Aliyas Moshe Rabbeinu Laharvi Yiridasa, Moshe going up and down the mountain, negotiating between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael. Hashem sends a message, Moshe reports, Klal Yisrael accepts, he brings it back. Mitzvahs Hagbala, Mitzvahs Prisha, Kolos Ubrakim, Rivvos Hamalachim, Sheyardu V'kashru K'sa'im L'B'nai Yisrael. Right? The preparation of standing at a distance and separating from their wives, and the Kolos Ubrakim, and the lightning and the thunder, and the angels tying crowns to the heads of the Jews, and the whole world trembling, harashas kol olam kulo, and the Shekhinah coming down below 10 tefachim, or at least 2 10 tefachim, kol zanasa mitoch yediya brura, shaluchos halalo asidin lishaver. All the great, you know, we spoke about it the other day, we're going to have a different mahalach today. Right? The other day we spoke about why it was necessary, and he has a piece on it. His first piece is about that. The balance of the hislavus of Kabbalah Satova, Torah, with the need for the quiet tzanua giving of the Torah, and why Hashem made such a rash if you know ein lecha yafim and atzniyus to quote the Medrash Tanchuma. Here he's asking a different question. Here he's saying, why make such a big to do out of it if it was gonna break? If it wasn't gonna last? Kol zeh nasa mitoch yediya brura shaluchos halalu asidin lishaver. Hashem knew it wasn't gonna last. V'yiskayim ba'am Yisrael mikra shekasuv. And like it says in Shir HaShirim, ad ha-melech b'mesibo, nirdi nasan reicho. V'afal pichein lo nimna kadosh baruch hu m'leseis es ha-Torah la'am b'nei Yisrael b'chol pratev v'tiktukav. Hashem made such a maimed out of Kabbalah Satorah for something that was going to last for such a short period of time. Hechel me'atzivu eshel v'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'gai kadosh. Derech mitzvahs hagbalu prisha tapatal efkalim vadlin esina atzma anochi Hashem lokecha, and all of this was done with Hashem knowing the whole thing was going to fall apart. V'yadia shakol inyan shel zman ad b'shabnei Yisrael yasos ha'egel v'yirkadu lefanov b'mecholos. Hashem knew the chayit ha'egel was right around the corner. In truth, we have ma'amari chazal that imply that Klal Yisrael knew the eagle was right around the corner, that they knew they still had feelings of avodah zarah in their heart. That's a medrash. Or the Tosefta in Bava Kama. The Tosefta in Bava Kama that says that they had one eye on Hashem, and they already had one eye on Chet Ego. Right? Nasa v'nishma, the Tosefta says in Bava Kama that they were gonev das elyon. They were liars. Nasav and Nishma was minasafa belachutz. They weren't really saying Nasav and Nishma. They didn't mean it. So why did Hashem, Tosefta in the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. So why did Hashem make such a maimid for a Torah that was going to fall apart so quickly? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to Moshe, Lech reid ki shicheis amcha, and the luchos are going to be broken, and Hashem is going to take back the crowns and everything. This whole maimid is going to be lost. V'kach hineg HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the event, ki'ilu zohi nesinos haluchos ha'achas ve'yechida ve'ein balsa, ve'ein bilta, and there'll be nothing besides it. Ki'ilu, this is it. We're never going to have to do this again. This is it. There's a very poshut lesson in this in Avodas Hashem. You'll see the lesson we can learn in the next 30 seconds. Right? But you'll see how the Tolner Rebbe develops it. You'll see what a beautiful way he develops it. So he says, by the little star, Hanhaga Shemaim Izu Melamedis Osanu Yesod Gadol Venora Bedarche Avoda. Let's learn a fundamental principle in Avodas Hashem. Keitzad tzarech ha'adam linog b'davar shu bar chiluf kamoza. How do I look at something that I know is not going to last very long? You know, if you remember the Gemara, he's not going to mention it, but it's a good source to add to this whole maimer. The Gemara in Brachos Chav Chesem and Aleph. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is contemplating becoming Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, becoming the Rabban Shal Yisrael, and he says, let me talk to my wife. And his wife says, listen, you know, maybe it's not going to last very long. So he says back to his wife, Mamash, the top of Chaf Chesamad Aleph and Brachos, it's Kedai for what? Remember? It's Kedai for a person to eat on china dishes, even if shortly thereafter you're going to go back to eating on plastic. It's Kedai for a person to use Bakasa de Mokra, to use a precious, you know, glass cup, even though it shatters more easily. So, okay, so if I'm the Rosh Yeshiva for a short period of time, but that's also, to be a melech for a day is also a chashuv thing, right? So she says back to him, I hear that, but you don't have a long white beard, so that's when he grows his beard, harei ani k'ven shivim sham. Brachos chav chesem et aleph. That's the perspective of a tzaddik. And that's the perspective, as we're about to see, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I try to look at it in broad strokes, sometimes it stops me from seizing a moment, from truly grabbing onto a moment. Look what he says. How do people see something that's going to be changed over? It's going to be transformed. It's short-lived anyways. How much could I possibly get out of this moment? Let's think about it. A person's making a wedding. Imagine if they know, Rachmana Litzlan, imagine somehow they have Ruach HaKodesh, and they know this couple's not even going to last a year. Imagine the father of the Kala has Ruach HaKodesh, and he knows the couple's not going to last a year. And his daughter's pushing him, right, to make the most grandiose wedding ever. He says, I'll spend $25,000. She says, no, this is my wedding. I want you to spend $100,000. I want you to over... So the father's thinking, I know with my Ruach HaKodesh, this wedding's not even going to last. This marriage isn't going to last. I don't need to fully invest in this because I know it's not happening. So Hashem knows this wedding is not happening. Hashem knows this relationship is not going to last. Right? Shekev and Shaluchas Rishonos Omdus Lishtaber. So since I know this isn't going to last anyways, no one's going to remember it anyways, the whole thing's going to fall apart anyways, so let me be smart about it, Meirosh, and put a little less into it. Hashem says, you know what, I'll scale back the special effects a little bit. And okay, so we won't have sushi, you know, and we'll get the cheaper photographer. As I ain't shum tam v'shum erech l'mitzvos prishav agbala, we don't need all of these preparations and all. It's a mockery almost. Why tie crowns to the heads of the Jews only to take them away? All these things are going to be overturned. They're going to be exchanged and be traded away. So why invest so much in them? It's not going to last. That's how people see things, if we were to know the future. Says the Talmud Rebbe in the bottom left-hand corner, the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu went all in on Luchos Rishonos, Ki Tzarech Livchon Kol Davar V'Davar Al Pi Mekomo V'Al Pi Shata. That's the title of the Maimer. Ein LaTorah El Mekomo V'Shata. Don't assess the Torah based on what comes after or what came before. Right now I have an opportunity to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seize the moment. It's the first story in the Rav Shlomo Karabach Haggadah about the Yid in Waco, Texas, on his way to the mikvah. He used to be a vision Tzar Chassid. I'm sure most of you know this story, so we're not going to chazer it over now. You don't know the story?
Yeah.
Rav Shlomo was in Waco, Texas, and he's on his way to a mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And a fellow pulls up. He gets out. He's walking in. Doesn't look like the mikvah going type. So Rav Shlomo gives him a look. How's it going, holy brother? And he starts to tell him his story. He said, when I was a kid, before I came to America, he said, my father, my grandfather were vision Tzar Chassidim. And he says, I remember when I was a boy, we once went to the Vision Tzar Rebbe for Rav at Ravin, or Shal HaShudas, or Zatish, I don't remember. And he says, it was the throngs of Chassidim there. And my father and grandfather took their place. And I was a little kid. They were worried I was going to get crushed by the crowds or get lost in the crowd. So they snuck me up to the front. And I was sitting literally under the dais. The Rebbe was sitting at a big table, at a big tish. And I was literally sitting at his feet, under the table. Best seat in the house, right by the Rebbe. And he said the Rebbe was so warm to me throughout the entire time. He kept, poking his head under and checking on me, giving me, passing me a drink and something to eat. And it was great. And I was mamish front row tickets. He said, at one point, the Rebbe got very serious, and he said to the Chassidim, he said, listen to me. He said, there's going to be times in your life where the Yetzirah tells you that you're not worthy to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't deserve. Who are you to serve Hashem? If the Yetzirah ever tries to convince you not to do the right thing, right, because of your unworthiness, I want you to tell them, b'shem the vision of say in my name that I don't have to listen to. Say, b'shem the vision of the Rebbe. The vision of the Rebbe told me I don't have to listen to. He said, and then the Rebbe looked under the table. He looked me in the face with his piercing eyes. And he said, young boy, did you hear what I said? Don't ever let the Yitzhahara tell you that you don't have a right to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this fellow says, I came to America. And what was America at that time? Came earlier part of the 20th century. My Yiddishkeit fell apart. No Shabbos, no Yom Kippur, no kosher, no Taras, no Shabbacha, no nothing. He said, I was sitting in my office this afternoon, Friday afternoon. He said, all of a sudden, for some crazy reason, I got this burning desire to go to the mikvah. He said, when I was a kid, I used to go to the mikvah with my father and grandfather on Erev Shabbos. He says, I haven't done that in years, 10 decades. He said, I was planning on going to the movies tonight in the Treif restaurant, Friday night. He says, but right now I wanted to go to the mikvah. He said, and immediately, Yitzhahara says, oh, look at you, all of a sudden you're a chassid. Oh, visions are chassid all of a sudden. No yarmulke on your head, all of a sudden your visions are chassid. He says, and I remember what the visions of Rebbe told me. And I picked myself up and I came to the mikvah. So Shlomo says, that's the same, it's as ridiculous as us sitting at the Seder. We sit at the Seder, we wear our kittel, we're drinking wine, malchus dik, geula dik, right? So Yitzhahara says, that's a big joke. Don't you realize they were firing missiles into Eretz Yisrael last week? What geula? You're in Galus Edom for 2,000 years. What Beis HaMikdash? Who are you fooling? Pretending this is your night of freedom. But we say to the Yitzhahara, tonight's my night. I'm sitting at the Seder. I'm wearing white. I'm eating matzah. I'm drinking wine. And leave me alone. Don't bother me. Right now I'm here. And that's it. It doesn't matter what came before. And it doesn't matter what came afterwards. Right now I'm able to grab onto this moment of Avodas Hashem. Okay? So that's what he says here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Klal Yisrael Kabbalah HaTorah. Very nice. The luchos are going to break. And therefore what? So the few moments that we have those luchos rishonos, they deserve to be treated, what? They deserve to not be taken seriously? Because it's not going to last forever. There's an alshech in Parshas Naso. There's a lot of reasons why we read Parshas Naso, by the way, after Shua. It's a lot to think about there. And we always read Parshas Naso, but Midbar before Shua is Naso after Shua. There's a great alshech in Parshas Naso. Avnei Nezer also asked this question. If you look by the Nazir in Parshas Naso, it says that it refers to him as a Nazir in the context of the post-Nazirus period. You hear? Meaning after he finishes being a Nazir, right, and he goes back to drinking wine, it still calls him a Nazir. The question is why? To steer me nay obey. You can't call him a Nazir if he's drinking wine. It says the Nazir goes back to drinking wine. The Nazir goes back? What do you mean the Nazir goes back to drinking wine? No, when he was a Nazir, he didn't drink wine. Now when he goes back, he's a regular guy. A regular person cuts his hair. The regular person. V'achar yishte ha-nozir yayin. It's in Parak Vav, Pasuk Chaf, Parshas Naso. And afterwards, the nazir drinks wine. He's not a nazir. It's a stira minayubay. You can't call him a nazir and say he drinks wine. There's different answers to the question. The Avnei Nezer has an answer. So similar to the Al-Sheikh. Let's say it from the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that no, he's still a Nazir. He's not halachically a Nazir anymore. He's now back to being a regular citizen. But forever, he deserves a little bit to be known as the Nazir. Why? He's not a Nazir anymore. Yeah, but he, so what? There was a period of time when he was a Nazir. That leaves a mark on his soul that forever he has a Sheikhus to Nazirus. So you'll say, nah, but he's not a Nazir anymore. He fell from that Madrig. He doesn't get to keep the title anymore. And the Al-Sheikh is saying, the Torah is telling us not true. He was a Nazir for a short period of time, and forever he has a Sheikhus to Nazirus. We don't mock him and say, oh, this is called a Nazir. Because one time he was a Nazir. It's like the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Hay also. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Hay tells the story of Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. I think that was his name. Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, used to travel 3 months. Remember this Gemara? To come to the Beis Medrash to learn for one day. And the people who learned all year, they laughed at him. What a joke. Oh, Talmud Chacham for one day. You know? He comes to, shows up Shavuos night, he learns all night. The rest of the year, the guy doesn't even learn. And Shavuos night, he's not learning so much either. But he's in shul, you know. So they were making fun of him. They called him the Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma, the rabbinic scholar for a day. He's on the one day a year smicha trip. They were making fun of him. The guys who sat in base bed for hours and hours, they made fun of him. Rabbi Yochanan came out of his study. Bar says, Rabbi Yochanan walked into the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan in general was someone who understood Bali Tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, right? But you see many Mamari Chazal. Rabbi Yochanan is always defending the Bali Tshuva. So Rabbi Yochanan walks in. Rabbi Yochanan understands a Jew Bashar Husham. Chagiga Dafei. So Rabbi Yochanan, very bottom of the Amud. So Rabbi Yochanan walks into the Beis Medrash and he gives a drasha. He says, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'osi Yom Yom Yidroshun. Right? V'osi and me, Yom Yom, day by day, I am sought after. So he asks the question, do we only seek out God by day and not by night? What's this Yom Yom Yidroshun? V'osi Yom Yom Yidroshun. So Rabbi Yochanan said, you know what Yom Yom means? That a person who darshans Hashem, a person who seeks out Hashem for even one day, a person who seeks out Hashem for even one day, a person who learns Torah for even one day, if you look in the Ein Yaakov, the Girs is, a person who learns Torah one day a year, Lishma, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's Ki'ilu, he spent the whole day in Beis Medrash. Don't make fun of this guy. He traveled 3 months in each direction. Understand how chashev that is? You know how much he appreciates Torah? To pack his bags, to leave home for 3 months, to spend one day in Beis Medrash, is much harder for him. You, Chever, you're part of the yeshiva, so you're here. So you're making fun of him, oh, we're here every day, you only come one day a year. He has a much deeper appreciation of Torah than you. You do it because it's your job, you work here. He gives up Parnassa and leaves his family and goes on a treacherous journey to spend one day in the Beis Medrash because he understands the value of one day in the Beis Medrash. God forbid to make fun of him. So look, let's read inside. Amnam be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein ha'davar nachon klal u'klal. Ki tzarech livchon kol davar v'davar al pi mekomo v'al pi shato. We need to assess a moment of holiness in accordance with that moment. V'lo lachshov cheshbono shal olam, turn the page. Ma omid likros lasilavo. Don't worry about what comes next. So you'll be a Nazir now, but guess what? You'll still be called a Nazir after. You'll still be considered someone who's learning all year if you only learn for one day. If you did the best you could, don't lose the moment now based on what anxiety you have about what's going to be tomorrow. V'al derech sha'amru chazal, as the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin, ein lehektish ele makomo v'shata. Ein lehektish ele makomo v'shata. When it comes to Dvarim Shebekedusha, right, we have to be very much aware of their place. Holy things can be eaten in a certain place. Karbanos can be offered in a certain place. The place where I shecht one karban is different than the place where I shecht a different carbon. The place where I eat one carbon is different than the place that I eat a different carbon. The time that's allotted for a carbon is different to another carbon. Ein lehektish ele makomo v'shata. When I deal with holy things, I have to look at it in context. And the vart that he's saying here is that Hashem sees our lives in context. Hashem understands that some people that can spend all day in Beis Medrash, some people can't. But why is the person who's only spending 5 minutes in the Beis Medrash a day, why shouldn't those 5 minutes be given the same chashi? Oh, it's only 5 minutes. That's a zilzal, you're being mevaza Torah. When a person says it's only 5 minutes, he's being mevaza Torah. He's saying 5 minutes of Torah is not so special. Really? 1 second of Torah upholds the whole universe. So what do you mean 5 minutes of Torah is not so special? V'nitzvach lizbonin b'chol davar b'mekomo v'shato, v'linhog bo ki'ilu ein lo avar v'lo yelo asid. To mamish be in the moment. And that was the teaching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was why Hashem set such a serious tone and tenor for Kabbalah Satorah. Zos haisa be'etzem hanhagas kutcha brichu be'is nesina Satorah. Shinohag b'luchos harishonos ki'ilu heim haluchos ha'yichidos. To immerse yourself in that moment as if there's nothing else in the world. It doesn't matter what happens afterwards. Even at Kabbalah Satorah, how many of the Asaras Adivros did we make it through before we said, okay, Moshe, you got to take over? Right? We didn't get too deep into the shir before we were already, okay. Hashem knew we were going to back out also there. And yet when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Brother Gemara says, the whole world filled up with a reach b'samim. The whole world filled with a reach b'samim. The whole world, the Rav Huttner explains it in Pachad Yitzchak and Shuas, is that the whole world filled up with Anochi Hashem Elokecha at that moment. Right? What does that mean? It means Hashem said, I want you to be fully immersed in this idea. There's going to be another idea coming after us, but right now, let's be here. It's the Gemara in Shabbos, at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, that says, when a person is learning one Masechta, don't ask him questions about a different Masechta. You know why? Because his whole world right now is this Masechta. That's how we need to immerse ourselves in the moment. And not worry about, oh, but there's so, okay, so even if I learn this Masechta really well, but there's still so many other Masechtas I don't know. And even if I spend the next 5 minutes really immersed in Torah, but then I spend the next 5 hours at my internship, so what good is it? It's going to be swallowed up by the bigger picture. The vart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us at Kabbalah Satorah, it's more than a vart, is that what? Is miss the big picture. I want you to miss the big picture. Get caught up in this detail, and you'll be able to immerse yourself in that detail. Okay? Now, let's go to the next paragraph. He quotes a Tosefta in Brachos. Okay? Let's learn a Tosefta in Brachos, and again, you'll see such a beautiful chiddush from the Talmud Rebbe. The Tosefta in Brachos tells a story about Rabbi Tarfon and his Talmid. We know from the Gemara in Brachos, there's a machlokes, what bracha do you make on water? What bracha do you make on water? So it says, Rabbi Tarfon, right? We usually think, what do you mean? Shehakol. Shehakol before, brain of Hashos after. Hashosa mayim litzomo, it's a Mishnah Brachos. Hashosa mayim litzomo, omer shakol niyavid varo. It's easy to remember it because it rhymes. Okay, Rabbi Tarfon says, no, brain of fashos rabos. You make brain of fashos rabos on water. Okay, let's see the background a little bit to Rabbi Tarfon's shita, based on a story. Maisa Rabbi Tarfon shaya meisav b'tzilo shal shovach b'mincha b'shabbos. Rabbi Tarfon was sitting, enjoying a little rest on a Shabbos afternoon. Heviu lefanav delish shal tzonin. And they brought before him a pail of cold water. Okay. They wanted to give the Rebbe something to drink. That's good, Talmidim. Amar lehem l'talmidav. So he said to his talmidim, "Hashoyse mayim litzamo, mayim mevarech." He said, "No, my talmidim, you offer someone a drink if they're minded to make a bracha. What bracha should I make?" The Rebbe asked the talmidim, "What bracha should I make?" Amar lo, yilam deinu rabbeinu. You tell us, Rebbe. Amar lehem brein nefashos v'chaseronan. That's the bracha on the water. Brein nefashos. Right? It sounds funny to us because we think of that as a bracha achrona. He was saying as a bracha rishona. The bracha rishona on water is brei nefashos rabos v'chesuna. Okay. Amar lahem eshal. So if you look in the mafarsh on the Tosefta, right, that means, do you want to hear more Torah? Should I darshan? Amar lo, you know, or maybe it means, you know, you have any questions, right? So they said, yandena rabbeinu, give a drasha, sure, no problem. The way the mafarshim translated is not he was saying, you ask, but he's saying, can I darshan? They say, yeah. Another Dvar Torah. Amar lahem, Harehu Omer, it says by Yosef and the brothers that they sat down to eat bread. Yosef's in the pit. Vayisu einayim, they lifted up their eyes, and what did they see? A caravan of Yishmaelim. And what was the caravan carrying? Good smelling spices. Valo ein darkan shel arvim. It's not the way of Arabs. Lios noisin, ela oros v'reach rav itran. Why weren't they carrying foul smelling hides and petroleum? And very strong, intense-smelling things. It's supposed to say. Rather, Hashem wanted the tzaddik, Yosef a tzaddik, to have a ride that smelled good on his way down to Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Tarfon said, so what do we learn, my dear Talmidim? If at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the moment of wrath, that a tzaddik is suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis upon him, so all the more so at a time that Hashem, when all is good, all the more so you can imagine how much rachmanis Hashem would have on us. If at such a difficult moment in Jewish history, Hashem had rachmanis on Yosef that the caravan should smell good, so all the more so you can imagine how good things are going to be when they're really good. This was a very broken moment in Jewish history. So if the broken moments of Jewish history have a silver lining, so you can imagine how good the good moments are going to be. Okay. So it says the Talmud Rabbi in the left-hand column, right? Vahu Tema. Tema Rabasi. It's a big wonder. What are these two, right? Rabbi Tarfon's clearly trying to teach two common ideas. He's trying to connect the bracha you make on water to his drasha about Yosef and the brothers. And the question is, what is the Kesher Bineim? How does Rabbi Tarfon's unique shita about the bracha Rishona on water relate to Yosef and the brothers? Okay, but before we get to that, says the Talmud Rabbi, in the bottom left-hand side of the page, the big paragraph, we need to ask ourselves a simple question. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu teasing Yosef? He says, Bir Adam Yisparish Al Pi HaYisoda Amar Leo. Hine Be'enei Basar V'dam Tov Ezu Shenasen HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYosef HaTzadik. This great kindness that Hashem showered and bestowed upon Yosef HaTzadik, that he shouldn't have a bad smell on the way to Mitzrayim. Nir es mamish kebachinas loig l'rash. Chav, you know what loig l'rash is? It's pausing a Mishlei. Loig l'rash is the series Isser. Loig l'rash is the reason when you go to a cemetery, you tuck your tzitzis in. Right, loig l'rash means don't mock a poor person. Yeah, don't walk in a cemetery with your mitzvahs dangling over the graves, as if to imply to the dead, I can do mitzvahs and you can't. Hashem, what kind of nonsense is this? Yosef is being sold to hell on earth. Yosef never knows if he's going to learn Torah again in his life. Yosef doesn't know if he'll ever see his father again. Yosef feels betrayed by his brothers. Yosef understands that he's heading to Erev HaSa'aretz where there's going to be tremendous sexual temptation. But you should just know, Yosef, in all of that, you're going to Mitzrayim, a place where no Eved ever escaped. You should just know, it smells nice on the way down, no? It smells nice. It smells good. The mashal I always like to give is when the airplane is about to crash, the captain gets on the microphone and says, okay, our engines are experiencing all engine failure, the plane is going down, but if you want to help yourself to some perfume, free of charge, from the duty-free cart, it's all yours, don't worry. You got to smell good on the way down. That's what it is, it's a joke. Thank you, but no thank you. Right? This is Hashem's mocking him. He's been stripped of. He was the Ben Zakunim of Yaakov. You know, he learned Torah day and night. He wore the Ksonas Pasim, and now he's a lowly slave who has no sense of what's in store for him. Look at the bottom where it's underlined. Va'ata kashu nimtza b'shafal madrega zeh b'diota achi ta'achtona. He's mamash on the lowest rung of his life. She'ein ta'achtona l'matim. And there's no more frightening, fearful, negative, scary, you know, moment. And all of a sudden, the Shem says, no, I don't want to make sure, Shalei Ariach, Osa Tzadik, Reach, She'ino Tov. I want to make sure you have a comfortable ride down to Mitzrayim. Shalei Meshach, Zman Hachika Tzar, Shalei Vidosel Mitzrayim. Well, for the short wagon ride to Mitzrayim. Bioso, look at this image he paints. Bioso, Kosher, V'chavol, Beraglav, V'yadav. His hands and feet are chained, are shackled as a slave. He was just sold as a slave to a bunch of Yishma'elim. Who knows what they're going to do with him. But it smells good back there. It's your lucky day. They happen to be carrying good-smelling things that particular day. There's no mockery. Hashem was laughing at Yosef's face. This made the situation, you know, more painful in a certain sense, giving him this like false sense of hope. Kiilu, that things are going to be fine. Things aren't going to be fine. Okay, in the end, things were fine, but that's not the feeling in the moment. This doesn't offer me nechama that it smells good right now. What was Hashem trying to say? Amnam kamur, next paragraph, Zohi tos shal basar v'dam. Again, this is the mistake of those of us who see life through human eyes. Shal das balabatim shadaitim u hefech midas Torah. It's a balabatish way of looking at reality. It's not the Torahic way of looking at reality. Das balabatim zo eino boris es bonanis amuka leirid la'umko shal kol pratu prakish la'atzmo. We sometimes get lost in the big picture. That's the Yisod. we sometimes see the big picture. We can't appreciate the little good things that are happening along the way. A person gets into a car accident and breaks their leg, and they are so absorbed in that loss. Their whole life now has become a broken leg. Do they realize that their heart is still beating? Do they realize that they still have the ability to breathe? Do they realize that their digestive system is still working? And they can still go to the bathroom like a normal human being? You know how many people in the world would give anything to be able to go to the bathroom like a normal human being? Do you realize how many good things are still happening in that moment? Do you realize that, yes, it's going to be really difficult this next few months of recovery, and it's going to be hard with your work and your parnassah, and it's going to cause stress in your family life? I understand. Do you realize you still have a family? Do you realize how many good, in the most broken moments, you know how many good things have not been taken away from you? But you're so absorbed with what? With the tzara, right? The big picture of your life right now is my whole life has been taken over by this thing. You're missing the details of your life. You're not recognizing all of the good things along the way. Says the Talmud Rebbe, where it's underlined, bottom of the right-hand column on page Samach Tes, Aval haTorah melamedes osanu lizbonin b'chol pratu prat keshel ha'atzmo. Don't miss out on the details because of the big picture. The big picture of Yosef's life right now is terrible. The overall trajectory is really not, it's not a good report. But there's something good that Hashem is doing for him in the moment. Don't miss it. V'alkein prad katon zeshel reach tov ve'is yiridasa she Yosef Mitzrayim yeshlo chashivas atzuma be'enei haTorah. The Torah recognizes us, wants us to recognize it, and Yosef HaTzadik himself recognized it. That's the part. Yosef himself was able, despite everything else that was going on around him, he still said, wow, this is really tremendous hashgacha pratis. Hashem is giving me a good smelling caravan on the way to Mitzrayim. Probably 6-7 years ago, I was teaching one summer, and I realized that maybe the smell of Kabbalah Satorah is exactly the smell also. When the Gemara says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and the Gemara in Shabbos says that the world filled up with a reach besamim, and Klal Yisrael said, wait a minute, this smells, what's this good smell? Why did Hashem have to accompany Kabbalah Satorah with a good smell? And all of a sudden they said, ah, now we understand why Yosef was sold, and why Klal Yisrael ended up eventually themselves in Mitzrayim, the Korah Barzel. It was all a hachana for what? It was all a hachana for what? It was all a hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. So this is the... In a certain sense, this line right here is what? Is the refuah before the makkah. Before everything happens to Yosef as an individual, eventually to the family of Yaakov, 210 years of slavery, when they get to Kabbalah Satorah, and all of a sudden the world has this unbelievable smell, they say, ah, now, right? Smell has a tremendous ability to take a person back. So all of a sudden they said, ah, now we understood. Hashem was hinting to Yosef from the beginning that everything you're about to go through, individually and collectively, is really just to get to the sweet smell of Har Sinai. Yeah.
Isn't there like a practical difference between the breaking of the luchos and the breaking of the relationship between like Hashem and Am Yisrael?
Yeah.
Like just because the first luchos were broken doesn't necessarily mean that like our connection to Hashem was going to be broken. And the
True.
Same way that Hashem knew the luchos were going to be broken, he knew that the second.
In many ways, it saved our relationship. It gave the possibility for right.
So in that sense, isn't
it was good.
The question is, like, why would Hashem make it worse just because the luchos were going to be broken? It's not like the Jewish people are.
You know, Hanami. Yeah. Think about that. But for sure, the breaking of the luchos was a tremendous hatzalah for Klal Yisrael. It called off the wedding so that we wouldn't be an adulterous wife. It would be much worse. Had Moshe delivered the ksuba, luchos war, it would have been much worse for Klal Yisrael. Yeah?
Is he saying that we should be looking at the big picture when we're looking back, like when we're saying...
No, I'm adding that right now. He's saying just don't be overwhelmed by the you know, again, the overall picture of Yosef. Is this a good time in Yosef's life or a bad time? If we look at it in broad strokes, it's bad, it's a terrible time. But you're missing out on the good pratim that are accompanying him through that bad period of time. Right? A person's diagnosed with an illness. If they have the financial wherewithal to pay for medical treatment, even if it's really expensive, they're very blessed. Because many people are sick and they don't have the money to pay for it. They don't even know where to start. Right? So that's a big bracha that's found within a period which is really, really overwhelming. So there's many different You know, there's many different ways to identify the good pratim amidst the bigger picture of tzara. Okay, now how does this teaching about Yosef and Tzadik connect us back to the bracha on water? Why, this is beautiful, says the Talmud Rabbi, why do we not think water is chashuv? Why are you all drinking coffee and not water? Just plain water. Right? Why is water for many people not the drink of choice? Right? It's tasteless. There's so many other tastier beverages. Yeah, when a person takes a glass of water, very often, especially in modern times, I'm in my house. Yeah? I'm in my house, I go over to the sink, I turn it on, and I fill up a cup of water. Right? I have running water, I take it for granted. I don't have to even buy it. Okay, some people like bottled water, I understand. Right? But it's certainly cheaper, and it's just less tasty than the orange juice that I spend money on, or any other of the beverages that I have in my... Right? Wine, I understand. Wine. Wine's a chashuv drink. It goes up from eitz to hagafa, and it gets an aliyah in its creation as it's being made. Water is just so plain. But you know why water is so plain? Because it's overshadowed by the fact that I have orange juice and apple juice and coffee and soda and wine and so many other beverages in my home. So I don't choose water. But if I was actually lost in the wilderness, right, what I would give for a cup of water. Water is more important than the soda and the juice and all the other things. Water is maybe the most important, right, of all the beverages in terms of just sustaining my life and sustaining life in general. So we look at water because of its abundance and because it's cheap and because it's accessible. We lose sight of the chashivas of water. But when I'm able to hone in on it and not get distracted by the bigger picture, I realize water is very chashiv. So says the Talmud Rabbi, left-hand side. Let's go back to the first teaching of Rabbi Tarfon. Let's try to understand how the Yosef HaTzadik Maimer Chazal is connected to the water. Rabbi Tarfon's sheet about water. When a person drinks water in his home, he doesn't see any chashivas to the water. Why? Because the mashka that he has in his mashka cabinet, it's much more expensive. It's much more chashiv. It's a chashiv guest. Right? He drinks it on Shabbos. It's chashiv. It's wine. He doesn't drink it during the week. What is a plain beverage? It's not the yayin. Right? It's not the aged wine. It's not the yayin yashan v'atik that he has. Oh, chashiv bottle. He saves for special occasions. It's simple water. It lacks tam. It doesn't have flavor. So you ask a regular person, what bracha do you think you make on water? Water. Who even says it needs a bracha? Water is not a big deal. It doesn't deserve such an individualized bracha. It's just water. So you say to the same person, what bracha do you make on a chashav bottle of wine? Oh, that should get a special bracha. However, says the Talmud Rabbi, that's our misunderstanding. He says in the bottom paragraph, if we had the maturity to really meditate upon that cup of water in my hand, and I were able to block out the bigger picture, and just think about what a gift a cup of water is. And that was Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon didn't lose sight of the details. He was teaching his Talmidim, what bracha do you make on water? Berei nefashos rabos v'chesronan. This is mamish, a life-sustaining liquid. It's a chush of a drink. Pay close attention to it. Let's turn the page. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. Turn to the next page. Page Ayin. Where it's underlined. Look at this little bit of water. Don't get lost in the backdrop. Don't let the water be overshadowed by all the other drinks on the table. This is mamish, a life-sustaining liquid. There's so many things that could go wrong with my body, and this little cup of water could make the difference between life and death, mamish. Where it's underlined again, Rabbi Tarfon shelo halach shevi. Rav Tarfon wasn't enslaved. I like a lashon. He wasn't enslaved to the shefa gadol hasovei v'sa'adam. He didn't lose sight of the details because of the bigger picture of life. It's so funny. We often say the opposite. We get caught up in the wrong details and miss the big picture. The vart from the Talmud Rebbe here is that what? Sometimes it's good to miss the big picture. Because the big picture overshadows the pratim of my life. And every one of them I have to have a karas hatov to Hashem for. B'chol sugi hashtia. Right? That all the things I could drink and I could enjoy. So it overshadows that little simple cup of water. However, Rabbi Tarfon taught us it's possible for a person to look into that cup of water by itself. To be able to say, right, when I drink water and I'm thirsty, in those moments when I'm thirsty, I realize, it has the ability, this is a life-sustaining liquid. And that's how Yosef HaTzadik saw the world. And that's, my friends, how we need to try a little harder to see the world. Okay? So now let's wrap up. Left side of the page. Me'ata. Second paragraph. Let's go back to Maimed Har Sinai. Hashem knew how bad we were at Har Sinai. Right? We don't like to focus. We said, no, it worked on themselves. A whole 49 days they've been working on themselves. They got out of Mitzrayim. Hashem knew where we were holding. David HaMelech says, in Tehillim Ayin Ches, Vayifatuhu b'fihem, we deceived him with our lips, with our mouth, uvil shonam yichazvulo, we were lying to Hashem. Nasa v'nishma was a big joke. Nasa v'nishma is gematria yitzias Mitzrayim. So we were mamish, we were out of Mitzrayim. There was still a lot of Mitzrayim in the hearts of the Jewish people. There was still plenty of Mitzrayim inside of us. V'libam lo nachonimo, says David HaMelech. David HaMelech is reflecting on our Sinai. Their hearts were not honest. V'lo nemnu bevriso. This was not an authentic covenant. I told you, the Tosefta in the seventh parak of Bava Kama, we're learning Bava Kama next year in Yeshiva. And this medrash, look at this medrash. Of all people, who talks in this medrash? Pay close attention. Don't lose out on the details. That's what we're learning today. Who speaks in this medrash, Shemos Rabba? Who's Reish Mem? Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir. The Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who's always Malamitz Chosan Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Meir, who holds Banam Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Look what Rabbi Meir says. Let me tell you the truth of where the Jews were holding. It's true, on their lips they were saying Nasa v'nishma. But their hearts weren't there. They were deceiving Hashem with their lips. They were liars. So says the Talmud Rebbe, really? If they're such big liars, so why is Hashem giving us the Torah? And why are we being praised for knowing the secret of the angels of saying Nasa v'nishma? And why are the angels coming down to crown us with two crowns, a crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma? If Hashem knows, right, how chaser in fact we are, so why does Hashem give us so much credit for that little bit of Nasa v'nishma, which is so incomplete? But again, this is the Yesod. The Yesod is Hashem sees our life in context. Now look what he writes here, bottom paragraph. But based on what we've been explaining, listen how Hashem is able to not lose sight of the power of our Nasa v'nishma, even though there's many reasons why a Kodesh Baruch Hu say, Nasa v'nishma. I know the big picture. The big picture is you're not fully there. Hashem hones in and says, do you realize how chashuv it is that you were able to utter those words, even if it wasn't wholehearted? Klal Yisrael had just come out of Mitzrayim. Says the Talmud Rebbe on the top of page Ayin Aleph, Hayu b'darga shel goy mikarev goy. Let's understand that for a second. We were mamish a goy mikarev goy. The Chazal understood it, a nation being born out of another nation. Which means we had, just like a parent gives birth to a child, and the child already has programmed into it so much of the parent, the way it looks, the way it acts, the way it thinks. There was so much Mitzrayim that had seeped into us, that we needed to rid ourselves of the Zuama, the filth of Mitzrayim. As it says in the Zohar, "Sha'amru malachim lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, halalei ovdei avodah zarah v'halalei ovdei avodah zarah." We're not so different than them. Ki am Yisrael hayu davak besoch tumas eretz Mitzrayim, as we find in the Kisvei Arizal. Again, we know all these Mamari Chazal that if we would have stayed there for a second longer, what would have happened? We would have got stuck there forever. We were mamish very interwoven with them. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu bochein libos uklayos ras kol ha'am azek kishu omid tachazar. And Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael trying our best at our Sinai. uvasharim sham, and the fact that we're there, and we're doresh umavakech as Hashem, and we're saying the right thing. We may not be wholehearted, but we're saying the right thing. V'lo rak zos ela ki'ish echad omrim nasa v'nishma. Azai afal pi shahari. Now look at these words. Afal pi shahari iya hakoleles roa gamas kavanas liva manistaros shula akum. Even though the big picture is that what? That the Jews are still holding by a lot of Avodah Zarah. If Hashem sees the full picture of Klal Yisrael, He sees a picture that's not as pretty as we'd like to imagine. V'sharak b'fiyam ha'im nechonim, and only on the surface their lips are in the right place, but their heart is mamish lying. Hinei, where it's underlined, Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'amira hazu k'shel ha'atzma ha'yi ba'erech atzim. Hashem says, but they still said it. They're lying because they want to be close to me. Esav and Yishmael couldn't bring themselves to lie. So that wasn't a sign of their righteousness. That was a sign they simply didn't want it badly enough. The Jews, by lying, are saying, Hashem, we're not really there, but we really want to be there. We're trying to talk about it. We're hoping that what? That ha'amanti ki adaber, like the Bali Musar say, ha'amanti, I'll come to believe it ki adaber if I say it enough times. If I say it enough times, maybe I'll actually convince myself that it's true. Says the Talmud Rebbe, the bottom of the paragraph, fa'af sham nam belibam, hishtavu l'shara umos. If Hashem looks at the big picture, their hearts are not any different than the Egyptians who they left 49 days ago. Achadayim yesh chilek gadol atzum v'nor ben Yisrael am. But there is a big difference. The big difference is what? The prat of what's on our lips. Ki l'shara umos lo yafilu ratzun l'shaker avor ator. The other nations couldn't bring themselves to lie over the Torah. Ubnei Yisrael ratu l'chol apachos l'shaker amanas l'kabal as a Torah. We were willing to lie to get the Torah. And Hashem noticed that detail. Hashem didn't look at the big picture. The big picture is we're not there yet. But the detail of what we were saying was a chashuv thing. And therefore concludes the Talmud Rebbe on the left-hand side with a little starred paragraph. V'zeo ha'limud ha'gadol avoreinu. This is the lesson that we need to take for ourselves from Maamar Sinai. In one sentence, she'oser la'avliya es ha'prat b'toch ha'klal. Don't swallow up the details in the big picture. Sometimes the details are mamish the thing that needs to be focused upon. The big picture, of course, also matters. A lot to say about that. But sometimes we fail, we deny ourselves the possibility of appreciating the moment because of the big picture. He ends the maimer by saying two comments to Bnei Yeshiva. I'll just tell them to be outside. He says, first he starts with a little musr. It's the bottom paragraph of page Ayin Ab. I'm just going to say it outside. And then he ends on a positive note on page Ayin Beit. You'll read it inside yourself. But he says like this. He says, sometimes a Ben Yeshiva has a good day. We like the big strokes. How was your day? It was a great day. Talmud says, let's talk about your great day for a second. Yeah. Overall, it was a very good day. You learned Torah today. You davened today. You did mitzvahs today. Okay, so it was a good day. Overall, the big picture was a good day. That doesn't mean that those moments throughout the day that weren't good are just hefker. Take a chrayis for those moments that weren't good. Right? So yes, the overall picture was a good day. And that's something to celebrate. Right? But what about you know, that histaklus that wasn't so kosher when you were walking down the street? Again, it was only 30 seconds of the bigger day, but that's something you need to work on. And what about that little bit of Lashon Hara you spoke at lunch? Right? Again, the overall was a good day. But why should you swallow up those moments that were not proper and ignore them? Ki'ilu, they're, you know, off the charts. There's no cheshvan. Leis din v'les dayin. You have to answer for those things. What about the fact, right, yes, you daven today. It's something to be proud of. Right, but what about the fact that there was a good chunk of the davening you were spacing out? Again, overall, it was good. My davening was good. There were people who didn't daven at all today. I went to davening and I davened. But why do I give myself a free pass on the fact that I walked in late? But the fact that I spaced out in the middle of Kabbalah Salmach Hashemah, in the middle of Shema, right? So the Talmud Rebbe says, don't on the side of accountability, don't exempt yourself from the details just by saying overall I had a good day. And the reverse, of course, and he ends on a positive note. As I put it in that order, because we always try to end on a positive note. The opposite is also true. Sometimes they say, oh, I had a terrible day. It was a bad day. I barely got to learn today. Whoa, barely got to learn means you did learn a little bit today. Kavaldik. That's amazing. You got to learn some Torah today. Don't again assess the day as being a bad day because it wasn't as good as a different day. Appreciate those moments of godliness that you did have. I made a lot of bad choices today, but appreciate those moments that you made good choices today. Why should they be swallowed up, again, by the bigger picture, and just to define the day as, you know, stamp on it, good or bad? There's a lot of details, a lot of pratim. And that's really part of also the message of the Sfira Sa'omer, of counting our way upwards towards Kabbalah Satara. To realize that, no, we have to look at the pratim. Right? Yes, Sfira Sa'omer is bookended by the klal called Pesach and a klal called Shavuos. That's the var from the Chidush Arim. Right? Klal prat uklal is Pesach Sfira Shavuos. Pesach is klal, Sfira Sa'omer is prat, pratim, and then we come back to a klal. V'yichad Shem Yisrael ki ish echad b'lev echad. One big klal, one big unit, one big achdus called klal Yisrael. But don't lose sight of the pratim on the way to Har Sinai. So I'll just end with a story that Rav Chatzka Levenstein shared. Rav Matisyahu Solomon said this b'shem Rav Chatzka, that when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai, they said that the Yom Kippur that they had there was like beyond, completely beyond. It was such a time of trepidation, and there was such uncertainty, and where are we going to be, what's next, what's happening, is the Yeshiva going to survive? And they said that Yom Kippur, anyone who was part of Yom Kippur in that tekufa, said the Yom Kippur was completely unbelievable. It's a mamish, a different madrega. Yom Kippur is always a different madrega. But Yom Kippur in Shanghai, when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai, Yom Kippur was completely off the charts. And the Bachrim at the end of Yom Kippur were very depressed. Because they knew the feelings we had on Yom Kippur, we always feel after Yom Kippur it can't last. But this Yom Kippur, there's no way we're going to hold on to this. This was just like a level that's completely unsustainable. So Chaskel got up and he gave a mashal. He said, imagine a fellow builds a mansion. Builds a beautiful mansion. He works on it for a long period of time. And he builds this mansion. He designs this mansion. Finally, it's ready. And he invites all of his friends to his Chanukah Sabayis. And he left. He asked the architects when they're building the mansion. He had designed that at the top of his roof, at the peak of his roof, there was going to be this little ornament that he was going to place on top. Which when the sun hits this ornament, it's going to, you know, shine different rays down onto his property. It's just a beautiful little touch on top. And he wanted to be the one to add this final piece, so to speak, on top of his mansion. This decorative piece, this decorative ornament on top of the mansion. So all his friends are standing around. And it's a big, you know, exciting event. And there's delicious food. And he's so excited to welcome everyone to his home for the first time. And he climbs up the ladder, and he's climbing on the roof, and he's about to put the ornament on top, the finishing touch of his mansion. And all of a sudden, the strong gust of wind comes, Chatzkel says, and the fellow goes, he falls backwards, and he lands on the floor. And he hurts his back, he's lying there on his back, and he's looking at his mansion upside down. And he sees, in his dazed moment, he's very dazed from the whole experience, right? And he sees it in this, you know, in this moment of confusion, he sees what looks like his mansion overturned. His mansion's upside down. And he starts screaming, my mansion, everything that I worked on, the whole thing was overturned. So they said, no, calm down, you fell, the mansion is fine, you fell. The mansion is still standing in its place. So Rav Chatzkel said, listen, after Yom Kippur, we may fall. We may fall, and if we have the wrong perspective, olam hafach ra'isi, it's an upside down world, we might think that everything we built this Yom Kippur is going to be lost. He said, but what we built this Yom Kippur is going to stand forever, lo olam vad. Right? In the Olamos, the mansion that we built is forever. We may fall, we may slip. We may have a Yerida. But the Nazir is still called the Nazir after he finishes the Nazirus. And the Jews wore their crowns at Har Sinai even though Hashem knew that was going to have to take them away. And he gave the Luchos with great fanfare even though he knew it wasn't going to last. Because the Jew has to know how to live in the moment. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we come to that great day. That great day of Kabbalah Satorah. Let's try to value the details. Again, sometimes we're so worried about finishing the Masechta or keeping up with people who are doing more than us, and it totally overshadows and paralyzes us from being able to serve Hashem in the moment. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to be Jews who appreciate the details, to understand the cup of water is worthy of a brain of Fashas Rabos, and that Yosef Atzadik was a tzadik because on his way down to that Gehenim called Mitzrayim, he was still able to recognize the Yad Hashem in his life. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should see things the same way. Okay, Shkoyach.